Morning. It is good to be here with you this morning. We have a lot to get through this morning, and frankly, I don't know what time it is, nor do I care.
It's 10:30.
But we're perfect. That means I've got a lot of time. I don't know that joke. So I do want to go ahead and just dive right in. So go ahead and turn with me to Ruth chapter 3. And I know it's been a while since we've been here. We had Pastor Terry here last week, and then we had the Lewises here the week before. So I'm going to give a quick two-sentence summary of what's going on. So Naomi came up with a plan to find a husband for Ruth. And so in the last sermon, which was 3 weeks ago, we talked about that plan. And so if you missed it, or if anything comes up today that you have a question about, I would just encourage you to go back and listen to that sermon. But right now, all we need to know is that Ruth is obeying Naomi's plan and has gone to the threshing floor to meet Boaz. And so we're going to jump right in, start in Ruth 3, starting in verse 6. The text says, "So she went to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. 'Who are you?' he asked. 'I am your servant Ruth,' she said. 'Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family.' 'The Lord bless you, my daughter,' he replied. 'This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do all that you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning.' So she lay at his feet until the morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, 'No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor.' But he also said, 'Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out.' When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, 'How did it go, my daughter?' Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, 'He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, "Do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed." Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until this matter is settled today." Let's pray before we dive into God's word. Father God, we come before you just so thankful for this opportunity to come and to gather as your church, as your body, Lord, and to spend time in your word. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us, that you will make things plain, that you will draw us to you, and you will just create in our hearts a desire to seek you and to know you more, Lord, and to let that carry over beyond this morning, but into our lives this week. We ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's start back in verses 6 and 7. So Ruth goes to the threshing floor. This is Naomi's plan. She says, "Go to the threshing floor. Don't let anyone see you. Wait until Boaz has eaten and has drank and goes and lays down. And when he lays down, go to him, uncover his legs, and lay down and wait for him to tell you what to do." And so Ruth does that. And just as a quick aside, there's no reason for us to believe that Boaz is in a drunken stupor. This isn't what was going on in Genesis 19 with Lot and his daughter. It's not a parallel event. This stands in contrast. One commentator describes Boaz, his state of mind, as this. He says, "The narrator paints an image of a contented man at peace within himself and in harmonious step with a world that is yielding its fruit as a result of Yahweh's blessing and his hard work. And so this is Boaz, after a long, hard day of working, he eats and he drinks and he's satisfied with a good day's work. He's thankful for the blessings from the Lord. And so he goes and he lays down and he falls asleep. And the text doesn't say this, but Ruth waits until Boaz is asleep before approaching him. Because if she hadn't, Boaz would have known just right away that his legs were uncovered, and this whole thing would have gone faster. But Ruth approaches the sleeping Boaz, uncovers his feet, lays down, and waits. And so far, everything is going according to plan. Ruth has gone there without being seen by anyone. She has approached the right man. She didn't get confused in the dark and go and uncover someone else's legs, which would have been disastrous. She goes to Boaz, and then she settles in to wait. And I can just imagine how Ruth's mind is just racing, wondering what's going to happen. How long is this going to take? She might have been tempted to poke him in the foot a few times to get him to wake up, to get this moving. But she just settles in and she waits. And then in verses 8 and 9, we see that Boaz wakes up. Something startled Boaz out of his sleep. And it was probably the cold, because his legs were uncovered. I know that would happen to me. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and have no blankets. I'm not going to tell you why, but you can imagine. But Boaz, he wakes up, he's startled, he's wondering what happened to his blanket. And then he's looking around and he sees a woman there, which probably startled him even more. And so Boaz is, like any reasonable person, is going to be like, "Who are you?" It's dark enough, and Ruth is far enough away from him that he doesn't immediately recognize who this is. And so he says, "Who are you?" But it's important to notice that Boaz doesn't immediately assume and accept the most likely conclusion to a woman being there. Because at this time in Israel, any normal Israelite man in this scenario, waking up in the middle of the night at the threshing floor, seeing a woman there, would assume that is an offer of sexual favors. But instead of just assuming that's what's going on, Boaz asks a question. He says, "Who are you? What is going on here?" And then Ruth responds with a jaw-dropping answer. What Ruth does here is astounding. She opens up this question or this answer with exactly how we might expect her to. She acknowledges her place. She says, "I am your servant, Ruth." And so I want to make a couple of quick observations on that before we get to the real juicy stuff. First, the word "servant" here is different than the word "servant" that she used in chapter 2, verse 13. So in chapter 2, verse 13, she says, "I am your servant," or why have your servants found favor in your eyes? That word for servant is the lowest of the low on the totem pole, okay? That's the lowest that you can get in society, is that word for servant. The word that she uses in chapter 3 is a higher level of servanthood. Now, she's still drawing attention to their gap. She's still saying, "I am your servant. You are the master. You are the boss in this." But it shows that she's growing in self-confidence. And what she's about to do, what she says next, would have been completely unacceptable for the lowest of the low servant. I mean, it's still a little bit unacceptable for even the words she uses. But it shows that her self-confidence and her place in her relationship with Boaz has grown over the past 2 months. But it's also worth noting what is absent from her response. In a very rare occurrence in this book, Ruth is not identified as a Moabite, nor is she connected to Naomi or Elimelech or anyone else. Ruth is just Ruth in this moment. It is Ruth and Boaz together. And that's a very special thing. And it's a very important thing to we see. And especially because of what Ruth does next. Now most, I don't know, I can't say all of you ladies. Most of you ladies probably don't know how Ruth is feeling right now. Married gentlemen, you probably do a little bit. Because what Ruth just did when she says, spread the corner of your garment over me, is say, will you marry me? Ruth is proposing to Boaz. Now, if you have ever proposed to someone, you know how nerve-wracking that can be. Even if you know that they're going to say yes. When I proposed to Courtney, I was a mess. We had talked about getting married before. I knew she would say yes. We knew that we loved each other. I had driven down to North Carolina to talk to her dad in person and ask for his blessing. And her whole family knew that I was going to propose. But I was shaking. I could barely get the words out. But that even pales in comparison to what Ruth is doing here. Ruth is a woman proposing to a man, a servant proposing to her master, a foreigner proposing to an Israelite, a poor person proposing to a rich person. All of these things are so countercultural to what the normal procedure in Israel was. Like, these things didn't happen. And yet here is Ruth doing it anyway. And I'm skipping to the end here, but can you just imagine Naomi's face when Ruth tells her what she did? What did Naomi tell Ruth to do? Naomi said, go do all of these things and then wait for Boaz to tell you what to do. And then Ruth just says, oh yeah, and then I proposed. What? If Naomi's anything like me, she was going like this and saying, you did what? What? But we'll get there. Ruth says, spread the corner of your garment over me. And that is an acceptable translation. And it would be fitting for it to be understood this way because, you know, for starters, Ruth is out there and it's cold. You know, share your blanket with me. It's cold out here. But it also means wings. Spread your wings over me. This is the same word used in chapter 2 when Boaz says, under whose wings, under you have come to shelter under the wings of Yahweh. It's the same thing. And what Ruth is doing here is saying, you commended me for taking shelter under the wings of Yahweh. Now I'm taking shelter under your wings. You spread your wings over me. You protect me. You provide for me. You give me rest. And then she concludes this proposal with this strong statement, because you are a kinsman redeemer. Now the NIV translates this as, you are a guardian redeemer of our family. So look at what Ruth has done here. Boaz asked the question, who are you? Who are you, Ruth? And Ruth turns this question around. She says, I'm your servant, Ruth. You spread your wings over me because you are a guardian redeemer. Ruth is saying, this is who I am. I'm this poor servant girl, a close relative of yours. You are a guardian redeemer. What are you going to do? This is extraordinary. It takes all of the attention off of everything that Ruth has done and puts it all on Boaz, saying, Boaz, what are you going to do? Are you going to be the guardian redeemer of this family? Are you going to step up and take care of me and take care of my mother-in-law? And that is extraordinary. And in the next verses, Boaz responds. I'm going to read Boaz's response here, but there's four parts to Boaz's response: a blessing, a promise, a complication, and reassurance. Boaz says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor." He says, this kindness that you have shown is greater than before. First, he blesses her. So he says, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, bless you. You are worthy of praise and honor for what you have done. For what you are doing now is even greater hesed, this word kindness, hesed, this wonderful concept of covenant faithfulness and loyalty to another person. This hesed that you're demonstrating now is greater than what you showed before. And what he's referring to before is Ruth's speech to Naomi in chapter 1. This commitment that Ruth made to Naomi that says, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And we rightfully commended Ruth for that speech, for that commitment she made to Naomi. And what Boaz is saying is that what she just did in proposing to him this way is a greater demonstration of covenant faithfulness than what the speech she made to Naomi. Because Ruth could have gone after anyone that she wanted. You didn't run after the younger men, whether rich nor poor. Now, Boaz, he's not at the end of his life. He's still a relatively young person. He's young enough to be out in the fields working all day long. But he's clearly older. He is what we might say past the prime of his life. Now, there comes a point in every man's life where you realize that you're not as young as you once were. Now, probably everyone sitting there is looking at me saying, you're not old. And that's true. But a few months ago, I sneezed and I hurt my back. Sneezing. And I couldn't do anything for the whole rest of the day. And I was sore for like the next week and a half because I sneezed. And I was just like, I cannot believe this just happened. That's not a sign of someone in the prime of their life. Now, part of my problem is that I don't exercise and I have not kept myself in the prime of my life. But what Boaz is saying is that he is past the prime of his life. His best days are probably behind him. And Boaz says something important here. He says, you did not chase after younger men, whether rich or poor. What Boaz is telling us is that Ruth had the freedom to pursue anyone that she wanted. She was not bound to marry someone in the family. She could have gone and found a husband anywhere that she wanted. One commentator described it as Ruth is a free agent. The Levirate marriage laws are not in play here. She's not set aside for a family member. So Ruth's proposal to Boaz, it shows a couple of things. One, it shows that she does have feelings for Boaz. She loves Boaz. This whole scheme is not about money and protection. She could have found that anywhere. But Naomi and Ruth chose Boaz because of Ruth's feelings for Boaz. But it also shows that Ruth is committed to Naomi and Elimelech and their family because she chose to do this. And she grounds her proposal in the fact that Boaz is a guardian redeemer. This isn't just about Ruth's feelings. It's about the family. She is so committed to Naomi and providing for her as well that she stays in the clan and she grounds her proposal in this concept. And this, in the eyes of Boaz, is a great kindness, greater than what she showed before. And so Boaz commends her for it, and he prays this blessing upon her. And then he makes a promise. He says, now, my daughter, do not be afraid. He comforts her, because remember, Ruth just proposed, and that's a really scary thing to do. He comforts her. He says, do not be afraid. I will do all that you ask. And this is a delightful turn of phrase. I will do all that you ask. Boaz's response here echoes what we already saw Ruth and Naomi talking about earlier in this chapter. Naomi tells Ruth, Boaz will tell you what to do, implying that Ruth should do whatever Boaz tells her to do. And Ruth says that she will. I will do all that you say. And then Boaz flips it around and says, I, Boaz, am going to do all that you ask. Boaz is submitting to Ruth's request. The rich landowner, the Israelite, the man of standing, is going to submit to the poor woman, the foreigner. I will do all of the things that you ask. And then he says, all of the people of the town know that you are a woman of worth. Now this word that he uses here, where he says, you are a woman of noble character. This is the same word used in chapter 2, verse 1, to describe Boaz himself. When it says that Boaz is a man of standing, a worthy man. It's the same word, but instead of man, Boaz uses woman. You are a woman of worth. And in this phrase, woman of worth, woman of noble character, is only used two other times in the Old Testament. Both of them in Proverbs. Proverbs 12:4 says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. And then Proverbs 31:10 says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Boaz is elevating Ruth. Remember who Ruth was 2 months ago. She was a widow, a foreigner, a stranger who was at the mercy of the Israelite people. She viewed herself as the lowest of the low, resorting to gleaning in the fields, hoping to find grace in the eyes of a kind landowner. Now Boaz, a man of standing himself, is commending her and calling her a woman of noble character. She is her husband's crown. She is worth far more than rubies. Boaz values Ruth so much that he submits to her request. I will marry you. I will redeem you and your family. I will do all that you ask. And everyone reading this story for the first time is really excited. And then Boaz says something else, and everyone is really mad. Boaz says, there's a problem. There is a guardian redeemer more closely related to you and Naomi than I am. The guardian redeemer has first rights to purchase the family land and to redeem it. And everyone is just like, what is happening? We just want Boaz and Ruth to get married and live happily ever after. And now this guy comes along And I'm sure he was a nice guy, who knows. But no one cares. And if I'm upset about it, just imagine how devastated Ruth feels. Ruth goes and she puts all of this on the line. She's taking a huge risk. And then she said, Boaz says, I will do this, but there's this other guy. And her heart just sinks. But Boaz reassures her. Stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as a guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. So first, Boaz protects Ruth. He says, stay here. It's not safe for you to be out walking around in the middle of the night. Stay here, and then you can go home in the morning. And then he says, if this other man wants to do his job as the guardian redeemer, that's a good thing. Let him do it. He's being kind and compassionate. And it's important to note here that Ruth is the object of redemption in this passage. It's not the land. It's not about children. It's all about Ruth. Let him redeem you. Boaz isn't concerned about the land. He's not concerned about children. And this is important for us to remember. This is not levirate marriage. This is about providing a safe, secure home for Ruth, a place of rest for Ruth. And so Boaz reassures her. He says, if the kinsman is unwilling to redeem you, then surely I will do it. And he makes that vow before the Lord. As surely as the Lord lives, I will do this for you. So you rest, you relax, and you stay here until morning. And we see that she does that. So she lays at his feet until morning, but gets up before anyone could be recognized. And Boaz says, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. So Boaz is protecting Ruth, but he's also protecting her reputation and his reputation. Because if anyone knew that Ruth was there, they would just assume that something inappropriate was going on there. And so he's protecting her honor by saying, let's go home before anyone can see you. And then he says, bring me the shawl that you are wearing. And he gives her barley, 6 measures of barley. We don't know how much this is. It could just be small measures. It could be something larger. There's small enough that she was able to carry it back home. But he says, and so he does that. He says, don't go home empty-handed. And then we would think that the narrator would tell us, then Ruth went home. But instead, the narrator says, then he went back to town. Showing us Boaz's eagerness to take care of this matter. Boaz isn't going to let things simmer. He isn't going to, he's not saying, I need to finish taking care of this barley first before I take care of this other issue. No, Boaz just leaves. He's like, I'm going to town to take care of this right now. And then we pick up again with Ruth when she gets home. Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? So Boaz and Ruth, probably as they were laying there, I don't think that they probably fell asleep, because who can fall asleep after all of that just happened? Their minds are racing. So they're probably laying there, wide awake, wondering what the next day is going to hold. And Naomi is probably at the house doing the exact same thing. She's probably pacing around, wondering, what's going on with Ruth? Is Ruth safe? How's it going with Boaz? What did he say? And so all of these things are running through Naomi's mind. And so when Ruth walks in the door, Naomi's like, how did it go? What happened? Tell me everything. And so I would love to see what was going on here. I mean, we already talked about it a little bit, but I would love to be a fly on the wall for this conversation between Naomi and Ruth, and just to see Naomi's expressions Her eyes go wide when she hears all that had happened, and then her heart sinking as Ruth sunk when we hear about the other guardian redeemer. But then we get something interesting. We get a new piece of information. Ruth says, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Now, normally we would think that we would get that information earlier. We would get it right when he says, "Bring me your shawl." And then he probably said it then. So why did the narrator wait to give us this information when Naomi is present? I think for a couple of reasons. And first, I think that Boaz gave Ruth the grain as protection for her reputation. Because if anyone sees Ruth walking back home with grain, they might just think, oh, she got up early to go out and get grain. But we also see that this grain could function a bit like a bride price. That Boaz is pledging to marry Ruth with this grain that he's presenting to Naomi. This grain is for you, Naomi. But it also connects with something that Naomi said in chapter 1. When she first came back to Bethlehem. Because these words literally mean, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty. Not empty-handed, that's a translation that we added. It's empty. It's the exact same phrase that Naomi uses when she says, "The Lord has dealt bitterly with me and has brought me back empty." And I believe that the narrator waited until Ruth was back with Naomi to give us these words so that we would connect these things, so that Naomi would know, and so that we would know that the Lord is telling Naomi, you are not empty. Ruth came back with you, and it is through Ruth that I am going to redeem you. And so Boaz is telling Naomi, you are not empty. And this is a beautiful picture of protection and provision and redemption. And when Naomi hears that, she is confident. And she tells Ruth, this man is going to take care of it today. You just wait. Boaz will not rest until this matter is settled. And that's where we're going to close this morning. And as we close, I want to focus on one theme that's carried throughout this book, and it's going to be a huge thing next week. And that is the theme of a redeemer. To redeem someone. Now, when you redeem someone or something or someone, it's literally to buy out or to buy back. Now, as kids, we went to Chuck E. Cheese, and then when we got older, we went to Craig's Cruisers, and my parents and my grandparents spent way too much money on tokens for us to play these arcade games, and then we would earn tickets. And then we would go in and we would redeem these tickets, and we would get a toy, a cheap toy, that we would either break or lose in a week and a half. And so we were redeeming the tickets for something else. And that's the concept here that the book of Ruth is showing us, that the main theme is the redeeming of people and land. And it's carried throughout this book. And when a person was poor, they could sell themselves into servitude, or they could sell land, and a guardian redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, would come and they could buy that land back for them so that the land stayed in the family. Or they could pay the debt that person owed, and they would get their freedom back. Ruth is a Moabite, a foreigner, and a Gentile. She was brought into the camp of the Israelites, but she doesn't really belong there until Boaz steps in. Today we specifically saw that Boaz wasn't talking about redeeming land. He wasn't talking about redeeming Elimelech's family line. He was talking about redeeming Ruth. In Ruth 2:20, Naomi calls Boaz a kinsman redeemer. And then in Ruth 3:9, Ruth calls Boaz the kinsman redeemer. And then Boaz himself embraces this role when he says, "I will do this." And he sets out to redeem Ruth. And next week we're going to see Boaz the Redeemer in action. But as we see that happen, we need to understand the picture in light of all of Scripture. What does what Boaz is about to do, how does that fit in with the wider biblical narrative? Because Boaz is a type of Christ. He is not Christ. He's not going to redeem a whole nation, a whole people. He's not going to save anyone from their sins. But what Boaz does for Ruth is a picture of what Christ does for his people. Boaz shows Ruth incredible mercy, grace, kindness, and love. And as we saw today, he intends to offer her protection and provision and allow her to shelter under his wings. He's going to do everything he can to keep her safe and secure. And this points us to what Christ does for us. He rescues us from death and destruction. We have no hope, no rest, no comfort aside from him. And yet with the shedding of his blood, he paid the price for our sins and he redeemed us. He bought us, and he calls us his own. And that is a marvelous thing. A song that we frequently sing is "Yet Not I, But Christ in Me." And I love the way that this song opens. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. And if that is not a beautiful picture of Christ our Redeemer, I don't know what is. He is my joy, my righteousness, my freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. He has not redeemed us out of obligation, but out of his incredible and immeasurable love for us. This entire story between Ruth and Boaz that we're coming to the end of is meant to be understood as a shadow, a painting of what Christ will do for us. And it is beautiful. And we should rejoice in it. And I pray that you do. I pray that you will recognize the incredible gift that we have been given in Christ, that you will not take it for granted, that you will not get tied up in the things of this world, but that you will fix your eyes on Christ, that you will cast off everything that can entangle us, everything that can distract us, everything that can weigh us down in our pursuit of him, and that we will fix our eyes on Jesus, our Redeemer. There is no greater gift that heaven can give us. If all we ever got in this world was Christ, that would be enough. More than enough. And so I pray that each and every one of us will do this, that we will fix our eyes, that we will shelter under his wing, that we will seek protection and provision in nothing else but in Christ our Redeemer. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you so thankful for your love for us. Humbled by your grace and mercy, Lord. We know that we do not deserve it. But we rejoice in the fact that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross and to purchase salvation for us, to buy a people for himself, Lord. And I just pray that you will work in our hearts, that you will strengthen us, that you will draw us close to you, and that you will hold us fast, Lord. We ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.